Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There's no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "His name is John." All were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all the neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All those who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be?" For surely the hand of the Lord was with him. The child grew and became strong in spirit. He was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the birth of St. John the Baptist. Only three times in the church's year do we celebrate birthdays. Most famous is obviously December 25th. We daily Mass goers likewise know that on September 8th we mark the birth of the Blessed Virgin. But really, as a memorial, quiet in comparison with the way we celebrate her Immaculate Conception. Today, June 24th, we celebrate as a solemnity the birth of the famous son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The Archangel Gabriel had said to Zechariah about the son his elderly and presumably barren wife would conceive, "Many will rejoice at his birth." And today we join in that jubilation. Jesus would later say, "Among those born of women, there's no greater than John." And the church's liturgical calendar puts that truth in a prayer. After Jesus, no one born of woman, not even the Blessed Virgin, has a more solemn celebration associated with his worldly visible debut than John. It's important to ask why the Church has always considered this feast so important. I think the fundamental answer is because the Church considers the life of John the Baptist so important and considers the events of his conception, gestation, and birth highly significant aspects of his life, even more important than his martyrdom. John's vocation to give witness to the Lord, to go before him to prepare his way, began not when he appeared at the Jordan in camel's ear, but in the womb. The Archangel Gabriel told his father, even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw an effect of this at the visitation when John leaped in the womb of St. Elizabeth, pointing out the presence of the prenatal Lamb of God within Mary. What God said to Jeremiah in the first reading of the vigil of this feast last night, and what, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And to Isaiah in today's first reading, "The Lord who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him," could just as easily be said about John. He was formed in the womb and consecrated to be a prophet to the nations, to bring God's people back to him. He was already carrying out that consecrated mission from his earliest days. These truths about a consecrated mission from the womb, however, apply not just to Jeremiah, Isaiah, and John the Baptist. Truth is that the Lord knows every one of us that intimately before he forms us in the womb. This is a truth to which you give witness in your daily proclamation by words and deeds of the gospel of life. We can all exclaim with the words of today's psalm, Truly, you have formed my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. None of us is a number or a census statistic or just a random biological happening. Just like John the Baptist had a vocation and mission from before he was born, each of us is formed by God with a divine destiny, given a vocation and mission in this world to achieve that destiny and to help others achieve their own. While there will be specific differences between your and my mission and John's, there are many characteristics we have in common with him. Like John's, our mission is given by God as part of God's plan for us from the beginning of time. Like John, the Lord fills us with the Holy Spirit at our baptism to help us accomplish that mission. Like John, we're called to recognize who God is, that he's so great and holy, that none of us is worthy to loosen the straps of his sandals. And that's what makes the Lord's desire to stoop down and wash our feet even more mind-blowing. Like John, we recognize we're not the Messiah, that we're not God, which means that we, like John, recognize that we don't call the shots. God does. And not only trust in his will, but actually say and mean, thy will, but not mine, be done. And blessed are we when we're not scandalized by the Lord's ways. Like John, we need to make straight the paths for God to rule in our life. For John, that meant going out into the desert to pray, fasting on locusts and wild honey, dressing in a way that symbolized his interior repentance and reparation. For us, it means going away from our distractions to pray, fasting, and living a penitential and reparative life, adorning ourselves with sacrificial love. Like John, after we're living a converted life, we're called to summon others to conversion. John did it at the Jordan River. We're called to do it at the East and Hudson Rivers, here in this visitation mission, at the United Nations, wherever our apostle takes us. We have the mission to help prepare the way for Christ to come into the lives of those around us. Like John, we're called to decrease so that Christ may increase in others' lives, to grow each day in authentic humility. Like John, each of us is called to be a friend of the bridegroom. That's the title John gave himself when his disciples complained that everyone was going to Jesus instead of him. He was the bride as the bridegroom, John replied. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now full. He must increase, I must decrease. Jesus, we know, is the bridegroom who would come to enter into a spousal covenant with all of us in the church as his bride. John considered himself the friend of the bridegroom, an ancient expression referring to the best man, who would protect the bride until the time when husband and wife would begin living together. He was Jesus' friend. Each of us, likewise, is called to be the true friend of Jesus, to introduce others into that friendship with the one who at the Last Supper told us, I call you friends because I have revealed to you everything I have heard from my Father. Like John, each of us is called to point others to the Lamb of God. John did it when he saw Jesus at the Jordan. We're called to do it by pointing people to Jesus in the Eucharist, pointing to him to take away the sins of the world in the confessional, pointing him, calling us to follow him in the moral life, pointing to him speaking to us in the pages of sacred scripture, pointing to him in the thirsty, the hungry, the naked, the stranger, the sick, and in prison, and encouraging them to respond with the love that God deserves. No matter what our state of life, or age, or sex, or vocation within our vocation to be saints, each of us is called to imitate John the Baptist in these ways. So we read in today's gospel, at John's birth, everybody wondered aloud, what then will this child become? That's the question people have at the birth of every child. It was asked at our birth by our parents and others. All parents in one form or another have asked it hundreds of times about their own children. Zechariah and Elizabeth would never have dreamed that here in New York, more than 2,000 years later, we would be celebrating their son's birthday. Even with all the miraculous occurrences surrounding his conception, Little could they have comprehended the role he would play in salvation history, his life, his martyrdom, his being the precursor of the Son of God in birth, in preaching, and even in death. Similarly, few parents who bring their child to birth and baptism have any idea of God's incredible plans for their kids. And God has even greater plans for children being baptized than he did for John the Baptist. After Jesus said in the gospel that John is the greatest born of woman, he added, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater. Each of us is consecrated by God in the womb of the church to be not just Jesus' forerunner, but his son or daughter, his bride and or friend, to live forever with him in the eternal kingdom of God. We may or may not become famous in this world. We may or may not have our birthday celebrated across the globe in hundreds of languages in the year of our Lord 4,000 or 40,000. But God intends each of us to be famous in the next. That's his desired answer to the question parents in every generation ask. What then will this child become? He wants them to work with him so that their child will become just as much a saint as John the Baptist, by imitating all that God teaches us about how to relate to his son Jesus through his cousin's virtues. That's God's desire. That's our calling and mission. God will give us all the help he knows we need to achieve that destiny, which also includes crosses. But whether we achieve it or not depends on our response. Celebration of a birthday is a time for all of us to reflect on the meaning of life. And this celebration of John the Baptist's birth brings us to reflect not just on the meaning of his life, but of our own. When Elizabeth said, his name is John, and Zechariah inscribed it on the tablet, meaning God is gracious, or God does grace, they probably didn't realize that one day, God is gracious would have a prefix. That same goes for every child parents bring to the font. All of us are meant to have our name preceded by the most glorious prefix of all, saint. But to be given that honor and induction into the eternal hall of fame, we must live up to the title. We must become holy on the day of our baptism and call and live in holiness in each of our choices, by living in constant communion with God and his will. All of us have known young people who are enormously gifted academically, athletically, or musically. Some have really invested those gifts, but others have wasted their talents and have amounted to very little in those areas. The same thing can happen with the spiritual talents and gifts God gives. Some of us develop them fully. Some of us waste them. St. John Vianney used to say, one Holy Communion has the capacity to make us a great saint. But a lot of the times we don't receive it with receptivity to that enormous power. Even though John was filled with the Holy Spirit from before he was born, he still lived a life of great self-denial so that he would never deny God. He responded to his mission with fidelity and allowed God's work to be brought to completion in him. We're called to do the same. What we become in response to our divine destiny is dependent on our choices, whether we develop or fail to invest the tremendous gifts and calling God gives each of us. Today's celebration is meant to remind us that each of us is capable of the fidelity and courage we see in John the Baptist, if only we receive and respond to God's help as he did. We conclude by turning back one last time to St. John the Baptist on his birthday. Normally on birthdays, we give the anniversarian a gift. But today, the Baptist gives us a present, the gift of his intercession, that we may be faithful to the mission God has given each of us from the womb, remain in holy communion with God, collaborate with God to help bring others to a holy communion. And just like John did nearly 2,000 years ago, he indicates to us that path to holiness, by pointing us to Jesus in the Eucharist, the Lamb of God who takes away the world's sins. As we prepare to receive Jesus now, we thank him for the gift of our life and the gift of those we know and love. We ask him for the help so that we, like John, may develop our friendship with him, so that he may ever increase within us and bring us and others to the eternal destiny for which we, like John, were born. Thank you.